Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fumi.
And it's Mike.
Our next Hack City Comedy Show is happening March 18th, 8 o'clock at Canal Street Market. And our next Asian Not Asian live podcast recording is happening March 26th at the same location, 8 p.m.
Visit AsianNotAsianPod.com for tickets.
See you there.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. If you're listening to this on your phones right now, and by phones I mean mobile devices, please take a screenshot, take a screenshot of the Apple Podcast app or the Spotify app, whatever you're listening to it on, and put it on Instagram stories. Tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and write these following words: my mother is sick, and the last thing she wanted you to do for her was to listen to this podcast, Asian Not Asian. Yeah, spread the word,
hey.
And then the prayer emoji.
And the prayer emoji.
Yes, and always, as always, if you're iTunes listeners, please leave a review. What's been going on, Michael?
Been fucking super busy.
Have you figured out the stupid Samsung pad yet?
I am trying to figure out the stupid Samsung pad. I got the Samsung tablet. My wife wanted it in a Christmas raffle.
Yeah.
And I've been like in this quagmire ever since of just trying to figure out little things, like, for example, where the shift button key is. It was not obvious where it is, where even that was. So I've been going back and forth. It's taking up a significant amount of my brain's power.
Shots fired at Samsung.
Yes.
Let it be known, Mike does not support Samsung.
Say that. We might have to, if Samsung came over here, if the Samsung family came over with a lot of money, oh, hell yeah, I would be all up in that.
Yeah.
Fuck, I entered the password wrong. Okay, fuck this shit.
Fuck this iPad. The fake iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good. A couple of weeks ago, I had this sounds very stupid, but I had my jiu-jitsu promotion.
Is that what it's, please don't tell me that's what it's called. A promotion?
Promotion. It's called a promotion ceremony.
I thought it would have a cooler Japanese word or something.
No. You know what's funny is that we somehow got brainwashed into thinking that the Chinese Japanese martial arts call me sensei, there's a picture of a monk on the wall, yeah, like a candle glowing, is cool.
Yeah,
because that is super stupid.
You don't have that at your dojo?
Fuck no. We have a mats,
yeah,
and we have a clock, and we have some towels to wipe up when the blood is on the ground. And that's the school. And we have a shower, you know?
Okay.
So I went to the jiu-jitsu promotion ceremony. It happens only twice a year. Yeah. And I was like, I've been a blue belt. So people don't know. In Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is what I do, there's white, blue, purple, brown. And black. It takes 2 or 3 years per belt. And I was a white belt, for 2 years. And yeah, I became blue belt. And I've been a blue belt for more than 2 years now, maybe 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder maybe if I'll get purple. And in my mind, if you're a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, you can kill almost anyone. Like,
whoa,
you are a very dangerous person at that point. They say that even if you're a purple belt and you can get the jump on even a black belt, then once in a while you'll be able to catch a really good black, okay, even a black belt.
So purple is when it starts to become very real.
It gets very real.
Okay.
It gets very real, and you should be you should be a kind of a bad guy. And I was like, but I don't feel like a badass at all. And I was sitting there, and it's a big school, so there's tons of people, and they call out the names. It's okay, everyone who's gonna get a, there's four stripes you can get and then you can get to purple. Sometimes you skip stripes, okay. which just happens all the time.
Okay.
So they're like, they first go, okay, everyone who we're going to call the name is blue belt with one stripe. And
is there such thing as zero stripe?
Yeah, the first one is you just get the
zero.
Belt.
Okay,
you just get
the belt. So you're a blue stripe. Zero.
I was a blue with a zero.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're like, okay. So they started the thing. And I was like, okay, I've been here for a while. Maybe I'll get two. Maybe I'll get three. Yeah. I don't think I'll get purple. If I got purple, I think it'd be weird.
Yeah.
But it'd be fine if they did because it's not up to me. It's up to whoever's judging me. So they start with the blue with one stripe. And they go, oh, okay. And they go to alphabetical, and they get to my name, and they go, Mike Nguyen. And I'm like, oh, so I got one stripe. And it was kind of mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I kind of thought I would get more.
Mm.
But at the same time, I was like, you know what? I am trash, right? I only deserve one. And I got this one. And it's literally a piece of electrical tape. It's a white one. They like wrap it around. and it fell off right away after like one wash. So I was back down to zero. I'm a one stripe in my heart.
That's what happens when you let straight guys do arts and crafts. It doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So I got
Was that embarrassing where people were like, Mike only got one? Are people catty like that at your school?
No, because like we just know how difficult it is.
But aren't you like, don't you just go purely for the exercise? Like, are you serious about it? Or like,
I mean, in the sense that I really like doing it.
Serious? What I mean is like similar to comedy, if you're just like a hobbyist, then you should not be surprised that you're not getting booked or like on JFL auditions.
I see.
But if you are serious, then you have the right to like, I guess, be a little upset when you don't get certain things. What I'm asking you is like, because like I'll take hip hop dance classes every once in a while,
right.
But I'm purely a hobbyist and I don't give a fuck if I suck, and I don't care if I'm not good enough to take the advanced. It doesn't bother me because I'm just there to get some cardio. What is it like for you?
It's I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you can even be serious in jiu-jitsu, because it's not like anyone makes money doing it, you know?
It's not like like the black belt doesn't mean you're gonna get hired by like the Marines or something.
Yeah, right? And it's like I just feel like, you know, I'm, you know, this is the year of the metal rat.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. And this is the year where we're going to buckle down.
Okay.
I'm going to get more stripes on my jiu-jitsu belt and more stripes on my comedy belt.
Okay.
What belt do you think I am? We've talked about this. Am I a white belt with two stripes in comedy? What am I?
No, I think you're the same with jiu-jitsu. You're a blue belt with one stripe that fell off after you washed it.
That feels right. That feels right. I love it. Yeah, I think it's about time we move on and start talking to our guest.
Yeah,
he's a writer and editor. He was formerly a senior editor at GQ and editorial director at Google Play Books and Oyster. He's been published in the New York Times, Atlantic, Grantland, The All, the Paris Review, which is pretty fancy, and The New Republic. He's currently the features editor at The Verge. Help me welcome Kevin Nguyen.
Happy New Year.
I feel this episode will be about just being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing.
You know, because that's when you get three straight Asian guys together, that's all we can do.
Is just be honest with
our feelings.
Be honest with yourself, bro.
Be honest.
Because we've grown up not being honest with ourselves. And sometimes you got to step back and be like, this is who I am. I'm a shitty martial artist / comedian. This is my life.
What a Wikipedia entry that is. Kevin, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Did you do anything for New Year's? Doing anything? I don't know.
Ate Thai food. You guys ever go to...
What?
I know, right? You guys go to Ugly Baby?
I've never
been there. It's on Smith Street. It's like just the spiciest fucking restaurant.
We're too poor to hang out in that neighborhood. You're talking about Carroll Gardens?
No. Yeah, Carroll Gardens.
Do you still get money? Do you still get money?
No.
Mm.
I miss that part of it.
I know, that part's tight.
Yeah, when's the last time you got money?
Like, I mean,
what age is the cutoff for receiving money?
I think it's supposed to be that once you get married, you stop.
Oh, really?
So
I'm not married.
Well, that sort of thing is like now.
That's why I'm not married.
Yeah.
Just waiting for this text to come in.
I know. That's why we delayed it as long as I could. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be you're married and then you stop getting money and then you start giving money.
Yeah.
But they
did. So do you have to start giving money? You're married.
I'm married. And I do give my, I'm supposed to give my mom, I already give my mom money. My mom takes my money. So whatever. So, but like, I'm going to send some money to like, there's like a couple of nieces and nephews and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They're very young, though, so like it's okay if I give them $1. It's okay. They're not going to be too mad.
They just really want the envelope.
They really want the envelope. They think that's cute.
You don't put a little letter in there? My grandma used to put personal notes in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they nice?
Yeah. They're just like, oh, have a good year. We miss you. Have fun in America.
Whoa.
Because we lived in different countries and stuff. Yeah.
I feel like if my grandma wrote like me a letter, it'd be in Vietnamese, so I wouldn't really be able to read it, and then I'd get translated and be like, why aren't you married?
Please stop. So dude, I'm running out of money.
I miss that because grandparents, I feel like they have dope-ass Asian handwriting.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? I can't write the way she writes.
Where it's like a sweet, yeah.
Yeah, the way she writes the characters and stuff. Like, nobody writes like that anymore, you know? So I do kind of miss looking at that. But can I ask you something? How do you send your relatives money? On Venmo? Because all my relatives live abroad.
Oh.
My sister, I just Venmo her. But like, that's a struggle every birthday or year. It's like, how do I give them money?
Oh.
And I can't. I have to wait for my mom to go to Japan. I just give her money or something.
I won't give them money until I see them. So I'll physically do it.
Also, it'd be like, you'll see them in June and be like, this is
here's from the thing before. I don't know, that's probably, I can't Venmo my nephew. He's one. So,
yeah. he probably has a Venmo.
I was going to say.
He probably does have Venmo.
What generation is that?
I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't. Yeah, what happens after Gen Z? Do we just go back to A?
I think it's
Gen A. You just start over.
I think there's nothing. I think that's it.
That's it.
That's when we die, actually. Yeah.
Thank you, climate change.
I first heard about the Kevin Nguyen meme from you.
Oh, really?
Because you were like talking, you were like, oh my God, this Kevin Nguyen meme is out here, and like, you know, it's like fucking my shit up.
I heard about it from you guys at Terry on like a few episodes ago.
She
sends me all of them because she is Gen Z. And it's like, all Gen Z people do is they just send each other memes day in and day out.
All day long.
Oh my God.
I don't know who's making them. They're not making them. They're just they just like appear in the ether and they just send them out.
I realized because in my generation, like in our generation, it was a lot of like, hey, have you read this article?
Yeah.
But for them, it's just still down to just like one frame.
Yes.
Like a funny line. It's like, oh, now I know everything about the coronavirus because this black guy is dancing around a dead butt person or something.
Right.
Yeah. No knock on Gen Z because it's like, I don't have to pretend that I like read the meme, you know, where I'm just like, that New Yorker profile, like, excellent.
Yeah. That
definitely
is true.
Read all of it.
Yeah, I definitely did a lot of faking.
You can definitely check out a meme in like 2 seconds.
You're
like the opposite of the Kevin Nguyen meme, though. You're like
kind
of
like
a bookish, you know, Boston, you know, suburb guy.
I don't know if I want to associate with Boston, but I'll take bookish.
Yeah.
Have you been to like an EDM concert?
Yeah.
I will say the funniest thing about the Kevin Nguyen meme and everyone sending it to me is like, you know, like my friends know me and they know I'm not this meme.
Yes.
And like I didn't know another Kevin Nguyen. I barely knew another Nguyen outside of my family growing up. But it's just so funny that like there's such a culturally specific meme. It's like it is specific to Vietnamese people in like Southern California. And maybe like the Bay Area.
Yes.
But like I have never met anyone that resembles Kevin Nguyen. And yet, like, my name is getting dragged all over the place.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's kind of like if an article came out and be like, you know Masafumis.
You know Fumis.
You know Fumis. And I'm like, what? I'm not a part of this conversation.
Maybe there is. Maybe in Japan, like, there's this whole,
a Fumi meme?
There's a Fumi meme that everyone's handing around. And then when they're like, and then when you go back to Japan, you'll be like, oh, you're going to check in with your passport. And the immigration guy's like, a Fumi, Abe. You know, and then like, he's talking to his friend. And like, oh, check it out. Hey, you want some tapioca?
Yeah. Do that thing, bro. Do that thing. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I wanted to talk to you because you had this article, this funny article about wrestling. And you were a wrestler in high school?
Yeah.
How long did you wrestle for?
Oh, 4 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Varsity,
baby.
You said you made varsity right away because you were very light.
Yes. I mean, like, as if I'm not still light. But I was the weight classes. It's like a good sport in a way because it's like, if you're a tiny person and you want to play sport, like, you get put in your, like, weight class, right? So all the tiny people wrestle each other. The weight class, the smallest one, the lightest one was 103.
Yeah.
103 pounds. And I was under it.
Oh, shit.
I was like...
How much did you weigh?
I think I was like around 100, but like, you know, like usually you're like, you're 110, you have to cut 7 pounds to make weight. But like, I was like, no, I'm good.
I'm good.
At least for the first year. I think I was like 5'1 at the time.
Hey, you wrote 5'3 in an article. Is that true?
Sorry? 5'3?
Yeah, that's so short. What's
going on? I used to be short. I'm like 5'7, 5'8 now.
Yeah.
On a good day, I'm 5'8. Yeah. sometimes still not that tall, but I'm not that tiny. But the funny thing, too, is like, even at 5'3, I was still taller than all the other kids.
Yeah.
I was just like so skinny. Like I wrestled a bunch of these like dwarves.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Like, I was all right.
Really? Because like even like if you had I don't know. I imagine that there was other people who had wrestled before, maybe, and you were like going right into varsity.
I mean, it took a couple years, but like I had this just wild coach who just taught me like all these bullshit moves. Like he literally called them desperation moves. There's one called like a head and arm, and it's like you just grab their head and their arm and you just throw them as hard as you can, and like that's what you do when you're down a lot of points. You just like try and get the pin, and you're in like the third period of the match. I would just hit it right off the bat.
That's so funny.
Win in 30 seconds or just like get my ass kicked for 6 minutes.
Or if it doesn't work, then you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm just like, I only got that funny one.
Oh, that's like opening with your closer.
Yeah.
And if
it
bombs, you're like, that's my best joke.
I feel
like,
I like that.
It's like you don't even set it up. Right?
Yeah.
It's just the punchline. You're like, the aristocrats.
I like that it's called a desperation move because that sounds like a sweet like anime video game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've got to use the seppuku dragon flying technique right now. And then you're just tired. Yeah.
Well, this article was interesting. I mean, this is from a long time ago. It was from 2016. But
you have to remind me about what's
happening. Yeah, I mean, you have this like nice, beautiful... the setup is the Jackie Chan movie, Who Am I? And you didn't know who you were as like a straight Asian guy in this like, you know, community that didn't have a lot of Asian people. And, you know, I don't know. I don't remember why you joined the wrestling team particularly. I feel like that's a sport that, like, I didn't even know existed until I got to middle school. And,
yeah, how did you
and
get
I was like,
into...
you wear these, like, weird headphones and shit? You know?
The
I was
headgear.
Like, what the fuck is that?
How did you get, like, even, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, so I went to, like, a boarding school. I didn't board, but, like, it was a prep school, like, lots of rich kids.
Right.
And, like, it was mandatory 3 seasons of sports. So just, can't play hockey. Can't play basketball, obviously. So it was like, I just had to wrestle. You could play squash.
What about cross country, bro? That's what I did.
Cross country was in the fall, which I did do.
Oh, yeah.
I was quite,
that's good
was
for skinny
quite
guys.
Slow.
Yeah. Oh, you're slow?
Very slow.
Oh, you're supposed to be fat? Runner?
I know. I've got long legs. I'm tiny. And I'm just like terrible at distance running.
Skinny people are the fastest.
Yeah.
Because they
not
don't
this
have.
One. Muscular.
The muscular guys are too heavy. Yeah. Damn. Okay. So you chose wrestling. Yeah. But the article was about this, like, you had this Jackie Chan, like, metaphor about, like, you know, there's a movie and he was portrayed, like, in a kind of a weird way. But what you took away from that, this is the movie called Who Am I? I've never seen it.
I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it is called that.
It's just Jackie Chan running around Australia. I think he's just like, who am I? You know? and everyone's just
punch?
Like, I don't know.
Why you punch me?
Why you punch me?
What's the premise? He lost his memory.
Yeah, right? Amnesia.
Right. And so you kind of took that and then you went into the story about how you joined wrestling team. And I think the most interesting part about the article for me is that you go into this whole part about you join wrestling to figure out who you are. And part of your journey was the locker room. And you would see a lot of dicks in there. You saw a lot of dicks. And I quote, these are your words. I had never seen as many dicks as I did in the wrestling locker room.
Okay, so Fumi was very excited when he read that sentence. He underlined it.
It's very important. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait, did you put this in your LOL or did he put that in
I put that in
Oh, you put
there,
that in there? That'd be funny.
That's just me laughing at my own joke.
I was like, hilarious. It was a strange gallery of people who had gone through puberty early as evidenced by their pubic hair and people who hadn't had it yet. You really looking.
Yeah.
And as illustrated by their lack thereof. And then you go on to say, you know, once I saw that my junk looked like their junk, it made me rethink all the other things I've been told about Asian masculinity. Maybe all those things were wrong too. And then you go through an anime transformation and then you end with the last paragraph. My senior year, I was captain of the varsity team.
It's true.
So the dicks, you saw the dicks. And that's like, you know, an anime where like the detective can't solve something and he sees like some kid jumping in a puddle and you're like, and everything just connects.
But mine is just like, it's a slow montage of prepubescent dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, some have pubes, some don't. And then you become captain.
Do you guys like ever see like clips of your own comedy from like 4 years ago and you're just like, did I say that? I'm having like that thing. I was just I guess I did write that. That's pretty good.
I don't watch my tapes from a long time ago. I don't do it.
I watch all the time and I go, what happened? What went wrong? that's cool. I feel like, yeah, with wrestling, I wanted to relate this even with like, I see a lot of dicks in jiu-jitsu.
Why?
Because we're all showering together.
Oh, you guys shower there?
Fuck yeah. It's so disgusting. So you got to shower. And it's very, speaking about sort of like learning about who you are as a man, like there's just something about like hugging another dude a lot and being hugged a lot where you just like, I don't have any barriers now with like a lot of, like the other day we had a show and Fumi had to go to the bathroom in order to change into his suit. And if I don't mind being totally naked in front of people. I don't give a fuck anymore. Are you kind of, I'm just like whatever about my body now.
I'm definitely like that. I think I got a lot of that from wrestling. I don't know. It's so weird. Like, you have these high school wrestlers. They're of varying, you know, degrees of puberty level. They're varying sizes, shapes, like, whatever. Like, most of them, like, they just, like, they're just, all they're thinking about is, like, being intimate with, like, women.
Yeah.
And they spend all day being intimate with, like, other boys. Yes. It just like makes you like really weird and comfortable and makes you less afraid, right? Because I feel like puberty for like straight people is defined by like being terrified of being gay or
yes.
something like that.
Yes.
It's terrible, right?
Yes,
you know, like, I don't think wrestling is like a gay sport, which is like what everyone in high school said, but it's like, you know, there's something like homoerotic about it. Like, you're just touching other people of the same gender, and like, it's good. It makes you like more comfortable with your sexuality. And
it's weird. This is okay. I'm gonna get real, real with you guys. Okay, when I'm in the shower with at the jiu-jitsu school,
I get so hard.
Okay, yeah, it's so hard. It's so awesome. It's I let's just say this. I am more of a grower, not a shower. You know what I'm saying?
I like that about you.
And I'm laying in the shower, and it's like everyone's got their junk out, and some dude's got like a lot of show.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's just sort of like I don't know, for some reason I just, it's okay. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? I'm not embarrassed. I'm just like, whatever.
You know why? Because that dick is not for them.
Yeah.
it'd be different if you were showering with women. I could see how
I see.
But also the point about how I went away to change. Okay, this is I'm gonna call you out on your straight guy bullshit right here.
Okay, go.
I did that for other people.
Oh, because other
I'm
guys.
Not gonna assume that other people are cool with seeing me in my underwear. So I go, right? But you are like, no, I'm okay. Comfortable with myself. I don't care.
Yeah.
But you guys should care. Okay?
Oh,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
other people don't want to see our amazing bodies.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Exactly. Who wouldn't want to see this? I'm like 120 pounds.
Yeah, I look pretty nice. anyways.
So you don't wrestle anymore? I mean, obviously.
No. Yeah, that's also funny, too, because it's like a kind of sport. Well, actually, kind of like we were talking about jiu-jitsu. Like, there's no real professional.
There's no like way to do it as a
the weight classes person. Jump up a lot. It's like I wasn't gonna wrestle in college. Like,
yeah.
The level of like I went to I actually qualified for nationals.
Yeah,
that's dope.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, I was eliminated in like 30 seconds. We drove all the way down to Lehigh, Pennsylvania.
Did you try your desperation move?
Yeah, the guy just like ducked it and knocked me over, and like it was just, he actually did this thing I'd never seen before. He just stepped on my foot and pushed me over.
Oh.
That's not even a wrestling. That's a bully move.
Yeah.
That's like, that's called the give me your lunch money move.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just funny too, because like the way the tournament's set up, it's just like if the person you lost to made it really far, you could get back in, like in some kind of smaller consolation round. And he like didn't even get that far.
Oh,
like
shit.
I just got blown away by some nobody who stepped on my foot and pushed me over. So just like illustrate very clear to me, it's like there's no future for you here.
That's a hilarious way to lose. It's like I lost because somebody gave me a wedgie. You know?
Yeah. It really felt like, you guys ever play NBA Jam? Like, you know, you can shove people.
Yes.
Just, like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what happened to me. Yeah.
We were talking earlier, and you know, I'm always very fascinated with writers, because I've always wanted to get into the sort of that world. But you weren't in that world for a long time.
No.
You were like a tech person?
Yeah, like I graduated in 2009. So like the crash of 08, like there were just like no jobs.
Right.
I was like living outside Seattle. I was like finding like kind of these like low level tech jobs on Craigslist, and you know, like,
oh shit.
It wasn't like so bad. You know, I was making like $8 an hour, which was like less than my work study job at school.
Right.
So really, it was a great time. But, I just, like, was writing on the side and editing on the side a little bit, like, blogs here and there.
Yeah.
And I did that for, like, 7 years or 8 years before, like, I got a job at a real magazine.
So you weren't, like, trying to... I mean, I guess you were trying to, or was it, like, a serious thing where you're, like, you know, I'm going to now be a writer? Or was it like, hey, this is cool and I'm gonna keep doing it, and then oh my god, all of a sudden I, you know, you got this job at whatever?
It's kind of more the latter. I just thought it all seemed really inaccessible, especially when I was living in Seattle, right? Like I didn't know other writers really.
Yeah.
And then I worked at Amazon for a little bit, reviewing books, which actually was a pretty good job. They moved me out here to New York, and I just started meeting people, started to feel like a little bit closer. But like everyone I met had gone to like Yale,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
And they just like, they had like immediately gotten magazine jobs
in their 20s,
internships or whatever. So just like, I'll just keep writing the side. Like the bylines got a little bit better, and then I got really lucky. Like someone from GQ had been reading my stuff for a while.
Oh, cool.
And they like hit me up. I don't know. It was so strange, because I interviewed there like 4 times, and they went pretty well. But I was like, I'm not gonna get this job. They're not gonna like let some skinny brown kid into GQ, right? I'm not even like a cool kind of brown. Like even when people want Asians, like they don't want Vietnamese people.
Yeah, we don't want Vietnamese.
They definitely don't want Filipinos. Like, there's like now a hierarchy within jungle Asians too.
Oh, but, there definitely is.
Who's at the top of the jungle Asians?
Who are the
Thai?
Maybe Thai.
Maybe Thai.
Might be Vietnamese.
We might be the
king of the jungle.
We might be the best of the Delta.
Yeah. Where do you feel like in the fancy Asians Japanese people are now?
Like soft power wise?
Yeah.
Soft power.
Soft power wise, probably number two.
Yeah, I think Korea is like really kind of kicking power. A lot of ass.
Yeah.
They've jumped up.
They've definitely jumped up.
But like,
thank you, Parasite.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pachinko.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier because you're like a book guy.
Mm-hmm.
You did a lot of editing and book stuff. And
I wrote a book.
You wrote a book.
It's coming out in March.
It's coming out.
I'm plugging it here. Yeah,
dude, let's talk about it. I read the premise. I fucking love it.
Cool. Yeah, tell us about what that is and what the process for like even writing it.
Actually, give the premise first, and then let's talk about it.
So you give me the premise.
I'm actually still terrible at this, and I feel like pretty frankly, the marketing copy makes the book sound like way more exciting than it actually is. Because like, I love books that are just like, and I love movies that are just like boring as shit. You know, just
what?
Like people talking.
What? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like a lot of Murakami books, like nothing happens.
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
something does happen, but then it's like, what was that?
And then you're just like, and then you're just like kind of sad, you know? And you're just like, I'm like moved, you know? Like that's the kind of shit I like. But so the premise of the book is there's two friends, they work in tech. One is an Asian guy. He's half Chinese, half Vietnamese. And then his best friend, Margot, is a black engineer. And they kind of relate to each other because... they're just like outcasts in the office, right?
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're kind of like, you know, you have that work buddy and you just like bitch about everything.
Yeah.
And so the beginning of the book is kind of about how like that relationship is like both very helpful in the workplace and then also like kind of lightly toxic. And so then like some things happen and then Margot dies like through mysterious circumstances. So then the Asian guy, Lucas, he just spends like the rest of the book kind of like bumbling around and grieving and like, breaking into all of Margot's online accounts.
Oh, shit.
And it's sort of about, like, what he finds there. And it's kind of like an inversion, like, there's kind of, like, a mystery trope where, like a woman is dead, and then you, like, hear about her, like, dark past that you never knew about. But hers is actually not dark. It's actually, like, she had this whole vibrant life online that he's, like, just trying to get access to. And then, obviously, like, all the choices he makes are kind of immoral. Like, you can't break into people's accounts without...
How did you like come up with this idea?
Yeah, did the girl break into your phone or something?
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
Did you lose a bunch of dick pics?
Yeah. I know, right? No, it's actually kind of dark. Like, I had my best friend died when we were in our 20s. So,
dang.
And I think I had this, like, dark thought once. I was just like, I wonder what his email inbox is like. And I never, like, broke into that. I, like, never broke into his email or anything. But, like, I was like, okay, like, here's... Like, I just thought about that for, like, just years.
Yeah.
And then it found its way in the book. Yeah.
Do you ever think about what is going to happen to all the crap that we, you know what I'm saying? Like all the chats and texts and emails.
All the time, yeah.
And I'm like, there's like so much stuff in there. I'm not even saying like bad stuff. It's just like there's crap in there. But like what will happen to it?
I just imagine too, just like, there's a weird thing where like obviously all these huge companies are collecting our data and it's like, it's really freaky. And like all that's going to happen after we die, I think, is like, our corpses are going to get targeted for like really specific Instagram ads, you know, just like, just like, I know you're dead, but you want these shoes, you know? Like,
have you seen that Black Mirror episode where they're like, this married couple, the husband dies and the wife sends the kind of like what's happening in your book. The wife is able to send all of his emails and chats and pictures to the service. And they replicate him. And he talks just like the husband. And I was thinking like, dude, if a computer was able to analyze all the things we've said to each other, all the way I communicate, the way I talk, the way I type, all the typos that I make and stuff, you could probably make a machine that talks like me.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I always think about like, you know, we all put out a lot of images of ourselves, right? Selfies and this fucking camera and then the podcast.
Being surveilled right now.
Being surveilled. Self-surveilled. We're doing ourselves. And I think about death all the time.
Yeah, love
and
it.
I
love
always
death.
Think about like, I always have this weird sense of like, oh, well, I think I'll die. I mean, of course I'll die. But then I'll come back in some form. I just will.
Sure.
And I was just thinking like, well, you know what? They probably could do it in a couple years because they'll have my face. They'll have like all my movements, and especially me because I'm a fucking stupid ass comedian.
Yeah.
And they'll have all my data, and then I'll just be resurrected.
You'll be touring in the hologram.
I know.
I'll be touring.
Our dream is to come back as like the Tupac hologram.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What's up, Coachella? writing this book, I mean, that's like you know, writing a novel is very different. I've never written one, but you know, I can imagine it's very different from just like an article and shit.
Yeah.
Was like, so like, they take you like, maybe Minjin Lee was here. She was like, oh, it took me 20 fucking years to write Pachinko. And you know, did you, when you started this, were you like, okay, I got this. This is going to be, I'm going to jam this out. Or was this like, oh fuck, I am way in over my head now.
It's interesting because it was hard, but I never put a lot of pressure on myself because I was just like, it just seemed like something I was doing on the side. Like, it didn't seem like a book that I could, you know, give to an agent or even sell to a publisher. Mm. It's kind of embarrassing. It started out as, I get really anxious on the subway, so I'll, like, write on my phone.
Okay.
And so I used to just put everything in, like, one large note.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, little bits of dialogue, like, little racist things that happened to me in the office.
Love
like,
it. Love
and
it.
And then I, like, it got so long that the note apps crashed.
Oh, shit.
So I, like, copy-pasted everything from the Notes app into Google Doc just to see
just
it.
Just to, yeah.
And it was, like, 20,000 words.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Like, I was like, what is wrong with me that I'm writing, like, 20,000 words of garbage? But then I kind of, like, read through it, and there was, like, a weird through line through all of it. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me piece this together. And yeah. So that's just kind of like the origin story.
Ooh,
the origin
fucking
Joker
cool,
story.
Man.
That's kind of sweet. Also, you didn't even know you were doing it. So that's
like writing it subconsciously.
Yeah.
That's what took the pressure off a bit. I didn't sit down just like, I'm going to be a novelist. I'm going to, you know. And that, I think I have friends that like have gone that approach and they just have like major anxiety about it because they've pinned their whole like identity around being this kind of thing, and it's hard work, and it's a little bit of luck, and
I
like that attitude.
I feel that maybe I can like look back at all my tweets and there's some sort of sweet story
there. They won't be. They won't be. If it was notes, maybe your notebook, but yeah. Bro, I mean, you're on Twitter, it's madness.
Two more questions. One, I just realized, what's the name of your book?
Oh, New Waves.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That sounds very vibey.
It does sound very vibey.
It sounds like nothing's going to happen, to be honest with you.
Is this like a Frank Ocean thing?
I know, right?
It's like, there's like a whole page of, he just says the word blue over and over again.
Yeah. Actually, it's really been the confidence of a Goodreads reader. One guy was just like, the book is called New Waves because the two characters in it like new wave music. And I was like, that's not true. That's not what's in the book.
Oh, it's out already.
No, it's in, comes out in March, but like, people just get their hands on these early copies.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I have no idea how like Goodreads users get them. Like, we send them out to like, you know, friends, other journalists, that kind of thing for press. Yeah. And then something like all these Goodreads reviews show up and, you know, like a lot of them like the book and then a lot of them are just like, this isn't Hunger Games.
Yeah, I feel that with Goodreads too. There's like a whole like there's a culture in Goodreads too. Mm-hmm. Like this whole culture, and there's like a definite culture of like I was one of the first people to read it, and like I'm tearing through this book and like putting up a review right away. You want to get on the podium like first, second, third.
Yeah,
some of that, you know. The last thing is after reading, I finished reading Pachinko, and it was I've read a lot of books, and I was one of those books where I read the last page. And I was on the subway train, and I read it, and I was reading on my phone, so I closed my app, and I just, like, looked out the window for a while, because it was just so, like, beautiful and profound, and, but not and sad, but not sad in, like, a, you know, it's shoving it in your face way, and it's not, like, you know what I'm saying?
It's sad as in, like, life is sad.
Yeah, life is like, and I just couldn't do anything for a while. I was, I had come into my mind. I jizzed in my mind.
Love that.
And I was just, like, in the afterglow, you know? And I now find myself going, I wonder what they're up to right now. I wonder what the characters are doing. And it's, like, ruined me now because I'm like, now what do I read? Because, like, I don't want to read anything, like, else now. I mean, I do, but I guess that's the thing. It's like, what should I be reading next? I read The Sympathizer. I read Pachinko. I'm going to check out your New Waves book. Okay,
yeah, I'll do it too,
March
man.
10th, baby.
I started reading recently. Good stuff.
Words, dope. Fumi is very excited.
I can't believe you guys got Minjin Lee. Like,
she's great.
I think I DM'd her or something like that.
Yeah, she's rad.
She was super down.
She's like a fan of the pod.
She is a fan of the pod. She's a believer.
Yeah.
It's undeserved. But so what should I read next?
I'm trying to think if
I don't mind stuff that's vibes, by the way. Yeah. One of my favorite books is, you ever read The Peregrine?
No.
You read that book? Have you heard of it? It's there's no plot.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll love it. It's called The Peregrine, and it's like a guy, and he
nothing happens. Down.
Nothing happens.
I'm fucking down.
He's a bird watcher. It's a bird watching book.
Uh-huh.
And he just walks around looking for this peregrine. He's in the English countryside, and it just describes the days that are happening. There's no arc. There's no. It's just it's completely vibes.
Why you like it?
It's just so
the way he describes the scenes,
the way he writes. This guy writes. This writer had only written this one book ever, and he wrote it. And it's just, this is the thing. I maybe you feel this way, but like you always feel as a writer, like one day I can write a book and it'll be my magnum opus. This is it. And then if I die, it's okay because I wrote this one book. And this guy did it, and it's like amazing. But and it's very vibey. If you like.
Yeah,
talking no, about great. Grass. This is perfect. So I don't mind vibey books, but it may be good. So I don't know. What do you got? Anything you recommend?
Yeah, did you read the Ocean Vuong book?
No, it's okay. Really good. I have it. If you want
on Earth,
to
we are briefly
it.
Gorgeous. Okay, yeah. I saw a good tweet. It was like, on Earth we're briefly gorgeous, but in LA we're a four. I just think about that all the time.
That book was really sad.
It's just super fucking sad.
Yeah.
Oh, so you read it? Yeah.
Yes, I started reading.
He started reading.
Yeah, more than Mike now. What's
yeah? Yeah, and that's one that's like. I like it. It's just like, it's lots of really like great moving scenes.
I like his sentences.
Sentences are great. And it's just like stuff happens, but there's not like a plot.
I don't know. Do I sound stupid? No. When I read The Sympathizer and Ocean Vuong, they're both I don't know if there's a connection there, but like this literally like, you know, we learn how to write sentences in school. But when I read their sentences, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and it literally feels like you're watching a really skilled skateboarder do like the cool craziest trick, shit and land.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't even know you could do that with these words, you know?
Yeah. Whenever I read Viet's, The Sympathizer, I'll pick it up and read it again. And like, I'll read like a page. And then for like maybe 5 minutes, my monologue in my mind, when I'm just walking around through my day, will be in his voice. You know what I'm saying? I'll describe
it's
life.
So impactful.
It's so impactful. Yeah. And then it goes back to just me going, like, oh, I farted. Yeah. For a while, it's like, that's how good, really good writing is, you know? So, okay, that's a good one. Anything else just off top?
Yeah. For like non-Vietnamese writers, so every other writer. there's a short story collection I really liked last year. They're connected stories, so there's kind of like a
Okay,
but
cool.
It's called Lot, and it's by Brian Washington, and it's just like about growing up like in Houston. And it's just like all these characters bouncing off each other, but the writing is really like, it's really sparse, it's really mean. Like all these people are just like hating on each other the whole book, and but also it's like they're all very loving. It just like, it has like immigrant feels in a way where you just like, you know, like when your mom says something like really mean to you, but like, you know, she's like trying to be nice. It's a lot of that kind of feeling throughout the book. So that one like really stayed with me. I actually started rereading that again, and then there's this new, do you like nonfiction?
Yeah.
There's this new memoir out called Uncanny Valley by Anna Wiener. And it's like about, I think maybe between the years of like 2012 and 2016 in San Francisco, like working in tech.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, sort of what you're talking about, like when you like read a sentence, like as a writer, like I was reading this memoir and I don't feel this often, but like there were just like graphs where I just had like total envy. And I was just like, I will never write a paragraph that good.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I can like make a living being subpar, but but this book is phenomenal. It's very funny.
Have you checked out Holes?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And we're back with everyone's favorite segment. It is Das Race News. We're here with editor, writer, subpar writer, Kevin Nguyen. We got this race news here, and I'll just read the little guy. I saw this on Twitter first, but you know, Doctor, former Navy SEAL Johnny Kim is now first Korean American heading to space, and I feel that headline was personally aimed at me. So, did you read about this, Kevin?
I did, yeah. Why do people want to go to space?
Why do people want to go to space?
Yeah, do you guys want to go to space?
Oh my God.
No, not really.
Yes.
Really? So, like, you know, like, they have those, you can, if you have enough money, right, like $250,000, like, Virgin Galactic or whatever will send you space in a few years.
Just the atmosphere, though, right?
Yeah. I like, even if I had $250,000 and I could spend on that, I don't think I would do it.
You know what? I agree with you there. I don't think I would want to do that. That just sounds like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. I'm the kind of person that if I go to space, I don't want to come back. I want to go into space. Just send me out.
Like Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, just like, just send me to the sun. I don't give a shit.
That's the only planet you can't go to.
Yeah. I'm not coming back. That's all good. I will tweet the whole time. I'm like, man, it's getting hot.
What's going on here?
What's going on? And then, oh, this was a mistake. And then I'm dead.
The clueless the space explorer.
Man,
burning up in here.
It's hot. I feel like, you know, it's one of those like profound things. You know, you go to space and we're not going to be able to live on this planet much longer. So we better like start figuring out how to get the fuck out of here. And you know, if my burnt corpse will help you that, I will be happy to do that.
So were people freaking out because he's an Asian guy, or is it just because he's a total badass? Because there have been Asian astronauts, right? Well, from Asia.
Yeah, there's been an Asian American astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There has. In 1985, there was one. And he's the first Korean. But that's what I'm saying is that they definitely could have just said first Korean American astronaut.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
They were like, doctor, my mom wrote this headline. Doctor, former Navy SEAL. Johnny Kim.
They might have put like 9-inch penis on here too. They literally should have done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it would definitely. And yeah.
I think like former Navy SEAL is the most impressive part of that.
It's so bad.
I know Korean doctors. I don't know Korean Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
I don't know any Korean.
I'm imagining. Have you seen Punisher?
Yes.
What's that actor's name?
I don't know, but yeah.
That guy. John Bernthal.
Yeah.
That guy, but smart and Asian.
He's like, yeah, he's got like the. He's got the triple job of...
He's my age, dude.
You know,
graduated college in 2012. Oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, dude. See, like, this guy here... And let's not talk too much shit, because he could definitely kill it. So, this guy here has... he has, like, the three, what I would call, daydream jobs that I have. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the train, I'm like, man, it'd be really tight to be a Navy SEAL. Mm. Or sometimes I'm like, man, it'd be kind of cool to be saving lives as a doctor. Or it'd be like, man, I can't wait to be on this like rocket ship and like be in space. He has all three of those things.
You call it rocket ship.
And he's only 30.
Yeah.
Or 31 or whatever the fuck how old he is. Oh, life sucks.
He probably has like a fucking fire podcast that we don't even know about.
Oh, yo, have you heard his 10?
Oh, yeah, he's so funny.
Oh, he's so funny. He's the nicest guy too. Oh, God.
That's so funny. Did you guys see that? I forget what it's called, but there was a movie recently with, like, I believe Ryan Gosling, and it was about, I think it was the Apollo, one of the Apollo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, First Man.
First Man.
First Man. Yeah. And it goes through, I saw it on an airplane, but it goes through like all the training and shit like that. That's for NASA, you have to be an engineer, but also like, fucking jacked, but like, can you not throw up for 30 minutes when I'm fucking spinning?
Well,
around like that,
under a lot of stress,
I
don't know if this is makes me feel better or not, but like most astronauts, actually, to your point, are like that. Like, if you read any random mission specialist, not even the pilot, but just like random person, it's
they're not like that. You're saying
no, they are. They're like they have like two PhDs, and they writer on Fallon. I don't know. You know, like
they
have all these like amazing things that.
In case some aliens want to laugh.
Yeah. they're the person who, you know, when you're in college and you most of the time when you're in college, what you're like, it's Saturday, time to get drunk, or whatever, or even fucking Tuesday, it's Tuesday, it's time to get drunk.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I go to Florida State. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But if you're an actual, like, if you really spent the time studying and doing shit and like accomplishing stuff, this is what you could do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And these guys are all did that. And it's like, you know.
That's why I have more respect for like astronauts and people from NASA than like politicians.
Oh, yeah.
Because like
yeah.
these are people who are using their smarts for like the good of, like, you know, the benefit of humanity, right. I guess, you know?
Exploring the sun.
I feel
sun,
like if I got two PhDs, I would suddenly feel like too good for Earth. Like, send me to space.
That's what
I'm
it is. That's why they're trying to get out of here.
Dr. Manhattan. What do you call this game?
This game is called What Do You Really Think About Asians?
What Do You Really Think About Asians? Yes,
and the premise is, you can explain it.
Yeah, so Kevin's real big on Twitter, so I went onto his Twitter feed and I searched.
This sounds like a trap.
It is a trap.
Okay,
it's
good.
A trap. Have you not been tweeting that long? How long have you been tweeting for?
Oh, I deleted all my tweets before 2018.
Smart!
So that's when
all the
racist stuff is gone.
It was tricky.
Bro, we gotta do that.
I was
gonna clean up.
I was putting a lot of things in there. I was like looking up Viet and Japanese. And, and I was like, I wasn't getting that much. I got a couple things. Here's one. Here's one from March 23rd, 2018. I did not I did not like most of Isle of Dogs. And then you follow with, I didn't even find it that racist, though I'm not Japanese. It's beautiful and totally hollow, just like me. So, little, you didn't like Isle of Dogs?
Yeah.
How come?
Oh, like, it just was a boring-ass movie. I don't know. It's like, do you guys like Wes Anderson?
I do. But I kind of
been impressed recently, though.
Yeah, that's just mostly how I feel like he's a movie, like, actually, like, speaking of vibes, right? Like, his whole movies are vibes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, the thing with, like, Isle of Dogs is, like, it's actually weirdly plotty, right? Like,
oh, huh.
You know, it's, like, at the end of this, like, we gotta go rescue the whatever. I've already forgotten it.
Yeah.
So, like, you have this, like, 45...
The dog.
Yeah, they got rescued another dog. I don't know, like, the first 45 minutes, I was like, this movie just looks cool as shit, has vibes.
Cool.
And then, like, it starts to have plot, and you just know what the next 45 minutes are going to be. And at that point, I was just like, I just want to leave the theater.
Oh, man.
It would have been...
That's pretty harsh criticism of us.
Yeah,
there,
you're, like, talking to dude. I went to see Cats last night at midnight, so...
Okay, so you, oh my God, you don't know anything about film.
Yeah, well. No. I'm just, like, a glutton for punishment.
Cats is vibes.
I would say it's...
Penis vibes, maybe. Or lack of penis vibes.
They don't have penises?
Well, I guess not.
They, like, Photoshop them out of...
They Photoshop?
Or not Photoshop, you know, like, whatever. I'm Industrial Light and Magic.
They use the de-aging technology.
Baby penises.
penises. One last one, and this isn't even mean or anything, but I think it's just sad. I need more Viet friends. That's it. That's the tweet.
Oh, my gosh. That's the theme of Mike's life.
I think that's when I... I think I followed you before. Well, this is from January 11th, so maybe I started following you at that point. I was like, this guy needs my support.
You know, it was actually funny. Like, I had a couple people reach out after that tweet. And there was just someone I knew, and, like, she was like, you should come over for dinner. Like my friends, like, we make all this Viet food.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's great. And I was, like, really stupid because I was like, I'm immediately going to have, like, six new friends, you know? And I come over, and, like, all these people are great, and they've made this, like, delicious food. But they're all, like, friends from Houston. They're all Houston Viets.
Oh.
And so just, like we got along, but just, like, I just, like, didn't really, like, I don't think they were, like, really vibed or related to me and vice versa. And it's, like, not a knock on anyone's, on anyone, but just, like, oh, yeah, like, just because we're Vietnamese does not mean we are, like, instantly friends.
Yeah.
Crown Heights or whatever.
It's because you're a sensitive Vietnamese boy. You know, you're not a Houston. Yeah.
Well, I just, like,
street racing Vietnamese.
Where am I gonna find the flip side? Just, like, well, we really got to find, like, someone that's Vietnamese that grew up in the burbs of Boston, that went to Seattle for a long time and now lives in New York.
Yeah,
and then I'll relate to them.
There you go. Well, you know, good luck being alone for the rest of your life. And you know, thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing the game. Yeah.
That wasn't as bad of a trap as I thought.
Well, you deleted all your good shit.
Yeah. We were looking for one more.
We were hunting.
I learned from, like, every new SNL cast member. Just delete your tweets.
I feel every couple of years we should just do that. You know?
Yeah, just clean out.
You know what'd be funny is that when they regenerate all of us in our digital, like, afterlives, just, like, just super racist. Just okay, according to this guy's tweets, he really hates white people, he's racist.
Here we go.
That's actually exactly what the algorithm would do, right?
Yeah.
Just amplify that. Okay.
Cool. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for hopping on the pod. This was so much fun. Is there anything you'd like to plug? Let our listeners know where they can find you.
Please just buy my book.
What's it called again?
New Waves.
New Waves coming out
March 10th.
March 10th.
I'm really excited to read.
Thank you.
I will check it out.
It's short too. It's under 300 pages.
Oh shit, fuck yeah.
How long?
Under 300, I think.
I got hard.
That's good.
It's like
one third of Pachinko.
Yes.
Love that.
It's about one third is good, but I think that still makes it a pretty solid book.
Cool. You can also find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod, and I'm also on there at The Fumi Abe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePants.
Please come to our next stand up comedy show called Hack City. Kevin, have you been?
I have not. I will go. When is it?
Okay, we're fighting now. next one's February 19th, and the one after that will be March 18th. And tickets are available online. Just Google Hack City Comedy Eventbrite, or if you follow us on Instagram, the bio link has all the ticket links. I think, isn't there anything else we're doing? We just had our live show, so if you came to that, thank you. Really appreciate it.
And if you didn't, please still like us, because we put a lot of work.
We work so hard. Guys, we're working so hard for you. Oh! Patreon. Please donate to our Patreon page.
Oh, yeah.
Patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. And listen, we need your money because we're a small operation and we have a lot of big dreams.
Yes.
And dreams equals money.
And we have a lot of overhead.
You know,
the other day we went out and I bought Ronnie Chang a drink, shouts. And it was so expensive. So, you know, if you want us to keep hobnobbing with fancy people.
Yes.
We need your money.
Think about donating.
Yeah.
Fuck these political candidates. Asian, not Asian 2020. So, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, we're going to do our Patreon shoutouts now. We're going to guess your ethnicity based on your last name if you donated to our Patreon. Check us out at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and give us your money. And you can get bonus episodes, shoutouts, DMs, all kinds of fun stuff from the ANA gang.
Yay, yay.
Okay, here we go. First person, Felicia Brooks.
Wow.
Felicia Brooks.
No, just an obvious Ohio one right there.
You think it's Felicia?
I don't know. Is it not?
Felicia is...
You know any Felicias growing up?
You think it's... I feel like Felicia's black.
Didn't say she wasn't.
Just you're right. Just from Ohio. There are black people in Ohio.
Boom.
Yes, here we go. Nick Zombor. Z-O-M-B-O-R.
Zombor. Zombor.
Sounds like a character from Final Fantasy or something.
You used to like Zombor. Zombor.
Yeah.
He's a black mage.
Yeah. Shouts out to all the mages out there.
Mages.
Falana Wu.
Falana Wu.
W-O-O.
W-O-O. Chinese.
That's Chinese.
Yeah.
Just J. J-A-Y.
J-A-Y.
You got to tell us your last name so we can't play this
game. That's a Korean pop star.
Jay. You think he gave us $5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not doing well. He's not a good Korean pop star.
He is.
But he's a Korean pop star.
Okay. And finally, we have John Maba. M-A-A-B-A.
M-A-A-B-A?
Yeah. Maba. No. That's like African or something.
Yeah, dude.
Sounds that's maybe like tight. Kenyan or Nigerian maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kenyan. Why not?
Dude, thanks for shout out all the way to Kenya. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And if you want to get a shout out on this, please check us out at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. And give me your money. And we'll shout you out on the podcast. Thanks.
Bye.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.